In Afghanistan, no higher honorific can be bestowed upon a warrior and leader than Lion. Currently, the most revered leader in Afghanistan is a man known as the Lion of Panjshir, killed by terrorists there 2 days before the September 11th attacks. His name was Ahmed Shah Massoud. The story of Massoud's assassination is the first and last chapter of a collection of New Yorker articles by John Lee Anderson. He filed the articles from the war in Afghanistan. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with him about his book, The Lion's Grave.
John Lee Anderson first went to Afghanistan in the 1980s to cover the Mujahideen War against the Soviets, and he rushed back to Afghanistan in the fall of 2001 in time to see American bombs begin to fall. John Lee Anderson never met Ahmed Shah Massoud, but since Massoud's death, his portrait is everywhere in Afghanistan. He was a brilliant military strategist who fought bravely against the Soviets, and in death, he remains a hero in a country bereft of heroes.
Massoud, part of his charm and his mystique comes from the fact that he had these rather ethereal qualities. He was very austere. He was renowned to be fiscally honest. In the Northern Alliance in northern Afghanistan, many Afghans told me he was the only one of the commanders who wasn't involved in the opium trade. He was a literary, a well-read man. He had famously had a collection of over 3,000 books in his library, and unusually for an Afghan commander, or a person we would call a warlord, had a collection, spoke French and read in French.
And like his country, Massoud was full of contradictions. Even as Kabul's cabbies display Massoud's photo on dashboards and drive down the newly named Great Massoud Road, others among Massoud's countrymen revile him for being one of the brutal commanders who turned Kabul to rubble in a bloody post-Soviet battle for turf. Now, let's turn to a different chapter in your book and a different side of this whole struggle. Another character, that would be Mullah Omar, notorious in this country as the leader and prime mover of the Taliban.
Well, Mullah Omar comes from a village north of Kandahar, the southern city where the Taliban arose, of course. He was kind of a rustic figure. How shall I say? He had a very big compound with naive sort of flower paintings all over the walls that bin Laden had helped him build. And these kind of internal corrals where he had a couple of pet cows. And he loved nothing more than to, that is, when he wasn't ordering music to be banned or pederast to be stoned to death. One of Mullah Omar's favorite daily pastimes was to pet his cows.
In Lion's Grave, John Lee Anderson reveals himself to be a writer with an eye for the contradictory and the absurd. He describes coming across a photo shop in the middle of Kandahar just after the Taliban had fled. In the window were elaborately retouched portraits of what looked like glamour boys from the era of silent movies, their eyes rimmed in black coal like so many Rudolph Valentinos.
I went in and asked the guys there, well, what are these? You know, Taliban posing in their black turbans with guns and holding hands and made up very cutely. And he said, oh, the Taliban used to come in here for their portraits. And evidently, they realized themselves, the senior leaders of the Taliban, that after they had banned the graven image, they then couldn't travel because they needed passport pictures. So they allowed the photo shops to reopen for passport pictures. They would do this in a little curtain studio in the back room. And so this was just one of the ways in which, you know, there was a great deal of hypocrisy going on. There was one other thing, though. I'll just say it quickly. I had been in Kandahar 13 years before with a warlord called Mullah Naqibullah. He is the man who had turned the city over to the Taliban in 1994 and basically lived in uneasy coexistence with the Taliban. When Mullah Omar negotiated to leave last year, he turned the city over to Mullah Naqibullah and then fled during the night. Obvious assumption, Mullah Naqibullah let him flee. So 13 years later, I go to pay a call on Mullah Naqibullah, who's sitting in his fortress, and he recognizes me and he invites me to go on a ride with him to his old camp. And we walk over to these beautiful, you know, luxurious Toyota Land Cruisers, limited editions, and I compliment him on the cars. And as we get in, he smiled gleefully and said they were Mullah Omar's. And as we drove off, music started belting out in the car. And it dawned on me that this was Mullah Omar's car, the man who banned music. And I asked Mullah Nakibullah, were these CDs in the car when you got this? And he said, oh yeah. I said, are you telling me the man who banned music listened to it himself? He just turned at me and smiled broadly and said, what would the world be without music?
What do you think? Do you have any opinion about where Mullah Omar would be?
I do think I know where Mullah Omar is. He's in the mountainous area north of Kandahar. If you can imagine a kind of vast Appalachia with forbidding little tracks going into it, xenophobic tribesmen, walled villages, people that are not used to outsiders, lots of caves and crevasses. Someone could hide there for years, I think. As for whether they would like to come back, you know, it's an imperative of anybody who has been pushed from power and living to fight for their existence to try to exist, to try to reassert themselves. I think the greatest danger to the new Afghanistan is the possibility that Karzai, the president, be assassinated, because there really is no one else to follow him.
John Lee Anderson's new book is called The Lion's Grave. He is now filing for The New Yorker from Iraq. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.
NPR's foreign editors are Lauren Jenkins, Doug Roberts, Martha Wexler, Ted Clark, Dee Dee Skanky, Bob Duncan, Jeff Sandman, and Rina Advani. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.